Welcome to the Stuff in Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, Stuff in Junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
Hey now, it's Jomming.
All right, Jomming, what topic do you have for us today?
I'm wondering why my two co-stars?
Co-host.
Why am I here? Why am I having to have the burden of having a topic ready and stuff like that? Good lord!
I don't know. For all these months where they haven't had to have a topic for the second episode, I'm like, wait, what am I going to talk about now?
Yeah. Good lord.
But yeah,
I actually do have a couple of just random follow ups to previous podcasts that I want to mention real quick. And the first, it all has to do with movies and stuff like that. The first one is AMC. We've talked about how AMC and other theaters have all eliminated the 9 a.m., 10 a.m. showings, right?
Yeah.
So now that it's summertime, summer blockbuster season, stuff like that, I've noticed that it's still true for Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, the earliest showing is still 1 a.m., which is very – I'm sorry, 1 p.m., which is still very late comparatively and stuff like that. But on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday – they do have earlier showings that start maybe around 11 a.m., 11:30 a.m. So that's one thing. So on the weekends, at least for the summer, they do have earlier showings, right? So that's number one. Number two, we've talked about forever.
Oh, well, hold on. Before you move on, I'm looking at my thing right here. And for Regal, the earliest for Saturday is 10 o'clock.
No.
So that's something. But in terms of my theater that I go to, the earliest on Saturday is 9:55 in the morning.
Yes. Jeez.
For Back to Black, and then if it's 10 o'clock, what?
But look through Monday through Friday. That's still there's still later showings. Right?
Still later showings. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's new. Number two, we've always talked about like trailers in front of movies. And I've said this a million times that AMC I can time it to within 21 to 22 minutes.
Right.
So, but guess what happened with the 8 movie this weekend? How many minutes of a movie trailer was on the 8 movie?
Okay, first off, my guess is 35 minutes.
Close. It was 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Well, about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was for the 8 movie it was 25 minutes, 26 minutes, something like that.
And what's the average though?
The average? What do you mean, average?
What's the usual?
Well, that's the thing, though. If you remember correctly from the previous conversation, I was saying how it's been random lately. So I've been trying.
It's random lately.
Yeah. So okay. I've been thinking like certain. I think certain big. I think the trailers depends on the seating. Like if it's in a smaller screen in my theater, then the previews is not as long. But if it's in the biggest screens, then the previews are like 25 minutes long or whatever.
Interesting.
That's my current theory. But I haven't put it completely to the test yet. Because so far, I've been watching the big summer movie and it's been tossing me to the bigger screen. So there's that.
Interesting. Because, 30 minutes for the Monkees movie. That's about an 8 minute increase, 7 to 8 minute increase from the previous like averages for AMC. So, that's number two as far as movies. The other thing I want to mention as far as like movies, because we talked about the shutdown with the writer's strike and the actor's strike from last year, right? I think the total shutdown time was like 3 months or 4 months, was it? Shutdown. And I think we're really feeling it right now, man, because I am now struggling to find a movie to kind of watch. You know what I mean? Because AMC, I have AMC Plus and some of that, A Plus, whatever you call it. And I'm supposed to watch, I can't watch 3 movies a week. It's a real struggle. True. Especially this week. This week, the big opening is If. Like, come on, man. Am I really doing If? Really?
Yes.
Am I going to watch If? I've actually had to look into watching The Strangers, which are apparently nowhere on my radar until like we did the summer movie draft where someone mentioned The Strangers as like a movie franchise. Like, what? Am I supposed to look into it? Am I supposed to watch it? Is that supposed to be a thing?
Yeah, The Strangers. The Strangers is a 3-part movie. The first one is this week. The second one is in the fall, if I remember correctly, and then the third one is like early next year.
The only reason I might be interested in that's because of the fact that nothing else to watch. It's because the director is actually kind of a legit name. It's about Rennie Harlan. Mm-hmm. Back in the 90s, he was like a known action director. He did The Cutthroat Island. He did Die Hard 2. That's probably his best movie. He hasn't done much recently, but yeah. So anyway, my point is it's a tough time to go to the movies right now. you notice a lot of re-releases this year. They re-released the Matrix movie, the Phantom Menace. They're re-releasing all the live-action Spider-Man movies, trying to fill out these screenings and stuff. But it's rough, man. It's rough out there. Of all the movies, to me right now, I'm only one behind as far as like big name movies. I just have to watch Challenger. I think that's the one big movie I've missed so far this year. Oh, you
haven't seen that yet? Okay.
Yeah, that's the only one I haven't watched yet. I haven't watched. I finally saw Civil War last week, and I've seen a bunch of other stuff and stuff.
How about Boy Kills World? You're not going to watch Boy Kills World?
What? Say that again?
Boy Kills World.
Oh, I saw that too. Wasn't a big fan. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I know you liked it, but I was a big fan. I saw that. You can write off any movie you want. I've probably seen it. You know what I mean?
Wait, but why haven't you seen Challengers yet?
Just because of the timing. Timing. And because Civil War was only like an hour and 49 minutes. Challengers was like a 2 hours and 10 minutes. Just something. I'll watch it eventually. Because right now I'm down to Challengers and then this Mandarin movie called Nothing Can Be Solved Without Papa or something. That's a random movie like that. These are the things I have to watch. And I looked at the schedule too. It doesn't get better as the summer movie progresses and stuff like that. There's one movie, I think. You know, normal summer, like every weekend is supposed to be like one or two big movies to watch. This weekend, I don't consider any. I think there's a blank spot, even though If is coming out. I think the second week of June is also like a dead weekend too. I'm just saying it's rough out there. That's all I'm saying. It's rough. I'm not watching Garfield.
Come on, you got to watch Garfield now.
Come on, man. I've gotten good reviews so far. Like they did the early the critic screening.
Yeah,
it's gotten good reviews, but come on, man. I'm too old for this shit.
Never underestimate Illumination. Illumination.
I know.
God damn it. Like, Mike's going to get something out of that from his summer movie wager.
I was a little bit scared because I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at the previews as far as like what's being sold, just looking at the CD and stuff like that. They had a early screening of Garfield, and a bunch of them were like sold out. I don't know about Regal, but a bunch of them were sold out, so I was kind of worried about that. But then I looked at opening weekend, the actual opening weekend for Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not that many.
It's normal. Okay.
Yeah, it's not that many. Also, Furiosa, just my quick glance, my imperfect like survey, Furiosa doesn't look like it's doing much.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, we talked about it in the summer movie wager. It's like only a specific people will watch Furiosa.
Yeah.
As much as all the nerds and geeks love Fury Road, mm-hmm. we do not set the standard for the mainstream. So,
yeah,
there's that. But at the same time, Summer Movie Wager, as I said, it's pretty random. As much as confident as you are with your list, things happen, things surprises you. And this summer so far has really been surprising.
As of right now, I feel pretty good about it. I think the
you're right.
I think the monkey movie did about what I expected. I wish the Fall Guy would do a little bit better, but other than that, I'm okay. Let's just see what happens with If.
If and Garfield are not on my list, so I don't really care how they do at this point.
Yeah. Wait, I think both are on my Dark Horse list. Dark Horse picks, I think, right? I can't remember it. I don't know. I think If is.
I can look at it right now.
Ah.
If is in your Dark Horse, and so is Garfield.
Yeah, so we'll see. Anyway, my point is, it's gonna be a rough movie going season as far as just like number of movies to watch and stuff like that. So it's the whole thing. Yeah,
it's a whole thing. What are you gonna do? Sticking with the movies thing. There is this list. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it's Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, mm-hmm. and there is a list that I was able to find here.
Oh. Yeah, that was another possibility for me to watch. It was an Asian American. I think it starred the chick from Fresh Off the Boat. Oh, I forgot her name now. She was also in Crazy Rich Asian, the lead actress. I forgot her name. God damn it. She was like in a movie that I could have watched this weekend called East Bay, I think it was called.
East Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know
anything. No. Exactly. It's weird. Yeah. All the movies, I know is Every time I look at the screenings for my local theater, it's just like some of these stuff I just don't recognize.
Yeah, Constant Wu and that's Daniel Yoon.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a group of unmarried professionals in the 30s and 40s in the San Francisco Bay Area who are struggling in their careers, relationship, and finances. Okay.
Yeah. Am I going to watch that?
No. you know, I know a lot of people are all like, it looks like a watch at home kind of movie kind of thing. And to be honest, I'm kind of like kind of slowly getting to the same bout too, where I'm kind of like, and this is a blockbuster, or I'm really interested in it. I'm willing to wait for a home release. So it is getting to me as well. So yeah. Anyways, there is an article in Esquire.com. Celebrate AAPI Heritage Month with this 17 films. And this was written on May 8th. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively new.
Sure.
You can give me your thumbs up, thumbs down on mm-hmm. what they recommend. Should I start at the bottom or start at the top?
Bottom.
Bottom. Okay. Scroll.
I know the whole thing.
Number 17. Rush Hour.
Some of the humor has aged very well, but okay.
But whatever. Okay, here's the thing about this, though. The Asian characters in this movie are not Asian American.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm kind of like iffy about why this is here.
Oh, that reminds me of that survey that people always mention every month. Every year, they take a survey about Americans. Like, name a famous Asian American. They always name Jackie Chan, right?
Right.
Jackie Chan from Hong Kong, China. Really?
Not an Asian American. Number 16. Much lower in the list than I expected it to be. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Great movie. It's a legitimately great movie.
Yeah. Plus, also Asian American experience.
Yeah.
With the daughter.
And also, going back to Rush Hour, it's despite the fact Sunday hasn't aged very well, it's a political correct humor, and also because it's not Asian American necessarily, it's still a funny movie. It's a funny action buddy cop movie and stuff like that. So thumbs up for Rush Hour, though. Yes. But big thumbs up for Everything Everywhere at Once. That's a legitimate great movie.
Once again, with the whole Asian American team here, Tiger Tail. Do you remember Tiger Tail on Netflix?
Is that the Kung Fu one?
No, not the Kung Fu one. This is the one with directed by Alan Yang.
I saw that. I did not think much of that movie.
I liked it. I think this was kind of like, well, the you know, multi-generation immigrant story kind of thing.
And, yeah.
And I've seen many different versions of this, but I think I did enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Number 14, another Netflix movie. Always Be My Maybe. I remember Ali Wong, Randall Park. Yeah. Oh, you didn't like it either?
Maybe I was in a bad mood at the time. I promised myself I'd go back to watch it and give it a try, but I remember I did not like it. Mm. I didn't think the humor just didn't work for me. It wasn't. I like both of the actors and stuff. They're both talented. I love them both. But I remember not enjoying it that much when I watched it.
Okay, it's the one with Keanu Reeves in it. People.
Yes, Keanu Reeves is the best part of the movie.
Here's another one where I'm like, Asian American Slumdog Millionaire. Come on, it's not even in America. Come on.
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
The director was a British guy, too. You know what I mean? On top of everything else. You know what I mean?
Yes. Plus, the movies are in America. But anyways.
Get out of here.
Number 12. So this is a good one. And also Asian American. Oh, hold on. Turning Red. They're Canadian. They're
that's Canadian.
Canadian.
Yeah. That's Canadian, man.
They're Canadian.
Come on, man.
Come on, Esquire. Where's your research? Even it says here on the freaking paragraph, Chinese Canadian teen.
Yeah, the writer director is she's Chinese American. So I'm Chinese Canadian. So get out of here,
Esquire. Okay, here's
a great movie, but get out of here.
Doesn't qualify for the list. This one qualifies. I would say Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yes. Even though it was written and directed, I think both by white guys, right? If I remember correctly. But the leads, I think, counts for something, and the subject matter and stuff like that. So big thumbs up.
Yeah.
A classic. Yeah.
John Cho and Kyle Pitt. I kind of still feel like John Cho could have been bigger than he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a very nice career, but yeah, you're right.
Okay. Here's another one that I think they just tossed it in there because they needed representation. Bendy Like Beckham. Not Asian American people. Not in America. Come on.
It's a British Indian movie and stuff like that.
Yes.
That's mad disrespectful.
Yes.
That's okay. Another, thinking of racial and who I thought would be bigger actors. I remember seeing that with my friend. I remember coming out of that movie thinking, wow, that lead actress, the British Indian chick, she's going to be the next big actor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a big deal. That's a big star. That's a star-making performance. But guess who came out of that being the big star?
Yeah, Keira Knightley, the white girl.
Keira Knightley. Come on, man. That chick ended up like, she didn't get like a job of like many years later, she was like the fifth or sixth lead of ER or something like that. It's like, wow, that's really, 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 really sad.
But I think that's kind of like the danger for an actor to get a lead role in a TV show. Because once you're in a TV show, you kind of get, if you're not careful, you get stuck in that.
Oh, no, but she, by my, I think hear what I said. She was in the ER years after. You know what I mean? I don't think she worked a lot between the movie and the TV show. You know what I mean? She just only ended up there because I don't know if she had anything else going on. You know, so.
Well, I'm looking at her IMDb right now, and she does have other stuff that's besides Benedict Beckham. 2003, Second Generation, 2008, Compulsion. You know, right. So she has other stuff. She was in Ella Enchanted. Oh, okay,
yeah, but anything but clearly, Hollywood with the movie making industry picked one person to be the star of coming out of that movie. You know what I mean? They didn't. You know, it's like it's what people of color have complained all the time. You know what I mean? You can be in a good movie, but afterwards what happens is they don't fashion an entire series of a lead role for you, for you and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the problem. So,
look at the guy from Aladdin.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can find work, but you can't find that lead role, that thing that's being completely built around you and stuff like that. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Next one.
Number nine. It's another one of those, like, it's not in America. Okja.
Wait, Okja? The Korean American? The Korean
movie? Bong Joon-ho's Okja.
What is this list, man? This
I don't know. Right? I think the whoever wrote this is just like, give me Asians. You know? Yeah. No, it's Asian American Pacific Islander. Where's the Pacific Islander part? They haven't tossed me a Pacific Islander this.
I believe the only Asian American in that movie is Steven Yeun, and he's like maybe like the fifth lead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he was playing a Korean. So yeah. I don't think it counts. Or was he the liaison in New York? Was that it? I don't remember.
I don't know, man. But no, I disqualified. Get out of here. This will be on the list.
All right. Here's one. I guess can count immigration kind of thing. The Joy Luck Club.
Yes.
Yeah, that counts. Mm-hmm. This one definitely Asian American. Better luck tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
Filmed in our backyards.
If you would have, if you had me guess. A couple of movies that had to be on the list before you started the list, I would have guessed Better Luck Tomorrow. That's an iconic movie.
Also, John Cho is also in this movie. I would say this is probably the best representation of what an Asian American experience is in the 90s for Asian Americans. Yeah. You know, wannabe gangsters and wannabe, and then very, very smart. Like, I mean, yeah, come very on. Smart.
Heavy focus on SCDs. Heavy focus about really. Someone mentioned this is not my original thought, but there's an emphasis on the pressures that they experience with their parents without ever having their parents not having any parents in the movie and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good point that someone made back in the day and stuff like that. But it's a watershed movie and stuff like that. It's up there with. Crazy Rich Asians up there with what's the other one you mentioned earlier? Joy Luck Club, as far as like landmark Asian American cinema and stuff like that.
I agree. Number six, this is an immigrant story, Asian American, I suppose. Minari.
Minari, yeah. That's a really good movie too. Yeah,
really good movie. Really good movie. Steven Young,
and also Steven Young, Asian American. I think. The director is also he is a first generation immigrant, so I think he's Asian American too, right? Isaac Chung, I believe.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This movie, I admit, I have never seen is Ang Lee's The Wedding Banquet.
I have not seen that either. They're remaking it though. Did you hear that?
Really?
They're remaking it with the chick from Killers of the Flower Moon and what do you call it, Rose. Tran.
Oh, I see it right here. It says it here. A remake of this classic starring Lily Gladstone and Bowen Yang.
Yes, there you
Excuse
go.
Excuse me? Isn't Lily Gladstone not Asian?
No, but her partner is Asian American. Like I said, it's Rose Tran from the Last Samurai. Return. What's it called? That Rian Johnson Star Wars movie.
Last Jedi?
Yeah, The Last Jedi. You know, the Rose.
Okay.
She plays her partner.
This article doesn't mention her. He mentions Bowen Chang and it mentions Lily Gladstone.
Yeah, Bowen Yang also. Bowen Yang also have a partner in that. That's also Asian American, I believe. Yeah. But there's basically four leads. There's four leads.
Even in this article, Kelly Marie Tran does not.
Kelly Marie Tran. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Number four. This movie, I know you.
Yeah, go ahead. Going back to your original question, I don't think it was made in America. It's not a Taiwanese movie, is it?
I think it's a Taiwanese movie. I think
it's a Taiwanese movie, right?
I'm pretty sure it's a Taiwanese movie.
Ang Lee did that in Taiwan. He didn't do that in America, right? But yeah.
I haven't seen the movie. I don't know, but I'm looking at it right now. I think this is a Taiwanese movie.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Next. All right.
Number four. Definitely Asian American storyline. And I'm pretty sure, and I know you hated it. Not hated it, but you didn't like it. Shortcomings.
I was not a fan for Shortcomings. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is definitely Asian American. But I think
Definitely, yes. Yes. Definitely,
but it's 100%. Not like, but there's a certain, I guess it does. It does, yeah. It's not often you see like slacker Asian American stories, and this is kind of that.
Yeah.
So I'll give that credit, I guess. Number four, though. They had a number four. Pretty high. Number three, not Asian American, and I don't think any Asian Americans were on this movie, short of the dub, The Boy and the Heron. Come on, Esquire. Come on.
What is this?
The Boy and the Heron?
Absolutely. I mean, what is this? As far as like
the list,
the accuracy, the premise of the article, this is some real world class bullshit. Man. What are we talking about?
Who wrote this? Is it a white person?
Yeah, look at it.
No, it's not. It's not a white person. It's Serena He or He. Serena He.
Can you Google? Can you Google?
No, she's Asian. That's for sure. Asian American.
Like a full year. We're talking a quarter here. We're talking like half. We're talking halfsies. Can you Google imagery?
Serena He is an editorial assistant and writer who focuses on media and culture. She is a lover of horror films and believes in the healing power of storytelling.
You know what she doesn't believe in? Accuracy.
Come on, Serena. Yeah. Did she have some kind of like assignment where it has to be 17 films? Because yeah. I think if she padded it down to 10 films,
yeah,
she could totally have got it correctly.
You know what? I'm gonna blame her editor. How about that? Maybe yeah. I think I'm assuming she's smart enough to know what Asian American movie is, Asian American Islander movie is, and you know.
And I really feel like The Boy and the Heron. Once again, we talked about this. It's got like the whole like prestige thing. Like, well, it's gotta be on the list somewhere. Number
and
three,
still Japanese, people. And also still Japanese.
Yeah, it's still a Japanese story. Number three.
I would sooner throw in Moana than The Boy and the Heron. What do you think of that? You just must throw in Moana.
Yes, where's my Pacific Islander in this story? Yeah.
Okay. Moana's directed by two white guys too, by the way. But Moana, I think, qualifies more than The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah. Okay. Number two. Once again,
I'm thinking of a movie that you recommended a couple years ago that I personally love, and I don't think it's gonna be on the list. I'm gonna be very disappointed. I think you know what the movie is. I already mentioned it in the podcast. It's not gonna be here, is it?
No. It's not.
It's disappointing.
Or is it? Wait. Which movie are you talking about?
Let's see what number two is. Let's see what number two is.
Okay. Number two, not Asian American. Once again, Monkey Man. Not Asian American people.
Let me go through he's Indian British. Yeah, he was born in Britain. Yeah,
that's besides the point. The story isn't even set in America.
Yeah, I don't know how you get there. I'm just trying to do the math. I'm trying to do the conspiracy map. The connecting the dots. I don't know how you get to America from here.
Yeah. Well, I'll give the credit for number one though. Number one, definitely Asian American storyline, and my favorite movie of last year, which is.
I'm blanking now.
Well, what is it? Past Lives.
There you go. All right, fine. Yeah.
I'll give her credit for this. Okay, number one, I can agree with that. But yes. I think if she's pared this down to a top 10 list, she could have totally removed the ones that are not even in America. I mean, come on.
The writer director is Asian American. One of the lead actors is Asian American, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Past Lives clearly an Asian American movie and stuff like that.
Well, I mean. Asian American experience when you're an immigrant and blah 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 blah. Yeah. I'll give her credit for being inspired to put Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Okay, yes. I'll give her credit for putting that stuff. But the other stuff though, come on. And where is my Pacific Islander section? Thing here. Come on.
The movie I was thinking about that should be on the list. If you take out Boy and the Heron, all that bullshit, Rush Hour bullshit, and some of that, is Paper Tiger.
Yes, that's right. Paper Tigers. That's right. Yeah. Oh, that would have totally been an Asian American thing, too. Yeah.
Paper Tiger is a wonderful, wonderful Asian American movie and stuff like that. It's a wonderful movie. It's an underrated gem that's on Netflix and stuff like that. I think it's still on Netflix. You can watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and Better Luck Tomorrow. I'll give her credit for putting that on the list as well. But there you go.
I see. Wait. Yeah, if I remember correctly, Did she fight the urge, or is this the urge to put the populist vote? She didn't put Crazy Rich Asian on the list.
Oh, that's true. And then not only that, but what's your name actually played the Asian American in that movie.
Yeah.
Shocking.
If she's the lead character, which she is an Asian American and stuff like that. Yeah. It's very much an Asian American story. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised that's not on the thing. And also the Awkwafina movie, where she's an Asian American that went back to China. Why is that not on the list?
That's right. That's a really good movie. That's a good point. That's a really good movie. Oh, shit. What's the name of the movie? I got to mention it. It's, damn it. Lulu Wang directed and stuff like that. The Farewell.
The Farewell, yeah. There you go.
That's a fantastic movie. That's a good point.
Look at that. We're giving her other options. She's going to put Shang-Chi, for God's sakes.
The thing is, in 2024, maybe if you made this list like 10 years ago, you'd be struggling to make 10. You know? But in the year 2024, you can actually make a list that's overflowing with Asian American, Pacific Islander representation, something like that.
Actually, now look at the list here. Awkwafina could have put in 5 of the movies. Crazy Rich Asians, Shang-Chi, The Farewell, Quiz Lady, you know, she could have totally choose any one of those, and it would have worked for Asian Americans.
I was half joking about Moana, but I think Moana actually kind of fits. You know, the lead actors are Pacific Islanders and so on. And also, you know what? I just realized another Disney movie, Raya and the Last Dragon. How about that?
Also Awkwafina.
That actually fits more. That's actually more Asian American.
The Boy and the Heron.
The Boy and the Heron. You know what I mean? Look at the movie, but look at any behind the scenes footage of them talking about the creation of that movie. They list all these Southeast Asian countries and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That definitely could have worked. I think the co-writer is from that area. I think he's Vietnamese or Laotian and stuff like that. I don't know about the directors, but I think that one of the writers is Southeast Asian and stuff like that. But yeah, it's ridiculous Esquire.
Yeah.
It's a shameful article for AAPI. What do you think of that?
Yes. Maybe I should have looked at the list before I put it up here, but I think it's good that I didn't look at the list, because then we can complain about it. All right.
Honestly, you should add alternative lists and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
True. But maybe next week, Anna or Ruti will actually be here, and I don't have to do that. Okay.
you monkey bastard.
You could, though. You could.
Let me see here. They could have mentioned Avatar too. Save the TV show.
Save it. Oh no, Avatar is not. Okay, whatever. But anyways,
no.
Yeah.
No, well, that was a joke.
Debatable. Because I think the co-creators are Asian American. So there's that.
I don't think they are, actually.
Really? Are they Canadian?
I think they're just white, some sort of European white and stuff like that.
I thought one of them was actually Asian American.
What, really? I, that's not from what I heard.
Let's see.
We're getting off topic because we're talking about movies too. That's the other thing. We're talking about movies. Come on.
Oh, that's true. We are talking about movies too. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it is Canadian, by the way. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
You can find me on social media, JIAMINGLIOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found at whowhatwhereswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 26 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jame.
Well, just going by what we just talked about, I think Paper Tiger is still on Netflix. That's a really good movie. I also watched the Monkey movie, The Kingdom of the Apes, over the weekend. That's a really good movie. So there's a lot of good choices out there and stuff like that. And we mentioned Fall Guys, a very strong movie. So it's just watch one of those. It's all good times.
Yeah, especially the Fall Guys. It's actually much better than people are giving credit. No. Everybody that watched it enjoyed it.
Yes.
It's just that the people who are so reluctant to watch it are assuming that it's just like a regular standard movie. Check it out, people. And Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, much better than I expected.
Same here.
Yeah, much better than I expected.
It got off to a little bit of a slow start, but once the movie gets going, you're really kind of invested. I was more invested in that movie than I thought I would be.
Same here.
And then it's for these franchise movies, these wannabe trilogies, or these kind of this attempted trilogy, or attempt, you know what I mean? I would say this: I would definitely watch a sequel. You know, I want to see this story continue. You know what I mean? I think that's the highest compliment you can make for one of these.
Absolutely, and I'm glad they kind of somewhat addressed the fact that that after like generations of apes ruling the world, there is a supermodel chick there, and there's a reason why she looks the way she does. So there's that.
could they explain it well enough?
I think by the end of the movie, you kind of have a basic idea why she's different. Okay.
That hot, really? All right. Okay. Also, I looked up on Netflix. I don't think Paper Tigers is on there anymore. Doesn't look like it. Okay. It's kind of a bummer.
Oh, here. I can look. There's a thing called JustWatch.com, and you type in here Paper Tigers. Was it only 2020? Oh, that's like a long time ago.
No. Yeah.
Paper Tiger. It's on Prime Video. That can't be right.
Well, dig it.
Is that right? Tubi. Tubi has it.
Tubi has it. Okay.
No, this is different Paper Tiger. Wait, hold on. Why is it a different Paper Tiger? Is it Paper Tigers? Oh, it's Paper Tigers. Wow, that makes a difference. Paper Tigers. It is on Tubi. Tubi and Canopy, people. Canopy, another streaming service you never heard of.
There you go.
Tubi and Canopy. So it's Paper Tigers. Paper Tigers is a documentary, but Paper Tigers is what we're talking about.
What the hell? Yeah. Oh, sounds like a word salad. But yeah, those are things. And going back to The Fall Guy, I also want to mention that The Fall Guy, when I go to a movie, like 80% of the time, this is the kind of movie I want to see. You know what I mean? Mm. Good action, good comedy, good-looking people doing good-looking stuff, being charming. It has a message. It has a point of view. But it's not like totally like, oh, it's like a total downer, or it's asking too much of you. You know what I mean? I have, you know, there's room in my heart and my mind for those artsy-fartsy movies or those really, what do you call it, artsy movies. But for the most part, like I said, this is the kind of movie I want to see. You know what I mean? Just go in there for good times, good laughs, and stuff like that. Absolutely. Shits and giggles.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And my recommendation for the week is this newsletter that you can subscribe to called Charter. So Charter. It is data-driven insights into business, tech, entertainment, and society. It's a visual newsletter that takes 5 minutes to read and is completely free. Essentially, it's what do you call it thing where it's like visual chart thingy? There's not a better word for that.
A diagram?
Not a diagram. It's a chart. It's called Charter for a reason, I guess. It's charts. So they'll have an article and they'll have charts to show.
A PowerPoint presentation?
Sure. but some of the topics they recently had, like streaming is slowly reviving the music industry. So you can see the numbers of peaks and valleys. And Tesla regains its crown, but the EV slowdown is coming for all. You can see the numbers are going up and then down. It's actually a very informative newsletter to subscribe to. I subscribe to it. And it is very informative. You know, so
there you go.
Take a look. Plus it's free. Charter. Although, you know, most people don't really use email nowadays, but yeah, it's free. And it says here, PS, no spam ever. So there's that.
Okay. There you go.
This was episode 770 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who at Worst Wife production.
Look at that. We did it again.
Yay.
Another great podcast without any help from anybody else. But we did it again.
Yes, we did.
Ladies, did not help at all. But yeah.
All right then.
All right. Peace out.